What's up? Welcome back to Uncommon Faith. I'm Amber.
And I'm Ashley.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, being crazy busy, and you're busy too, right?
Yeah, too much going on.
Yeah, what's been going on with you?
Oh, geez, this week I've been trying to get all my clients in. I've got a couple photo shoots and things of that nature on top of trying to keep life in order. It's been fun.
It's like all like, get in now while you can.
Get in now while you can, yeah.
Before, it's like, but where were you guys like? Weeks
like
ago,
a week ago. Yes, that, and it always happens. It never fails. Like, I always get this idea in my head. I'm going to post, hey, y'all, this is my last week. And I think it's a great idea because the money aspect is like, okay, well, I need a little bit of money, so let me work a little extra. But then when it happens and they actually book and then it's like overbooked, then you kind of regret it. And then when you can't get people in, like, get upset with you, and that's always fun.
Did that actually work, you making that post? Like, do you have a lot of clients?
Yeah, I ended up getting a couple of clients to fill in those spots, so that was good. Yeah, doing those posts helps a lot. But then you get a lot of them that are just like, oh, well, I can only do this day, and you don't have it. Mm-hmm. And then they get upset because I'm glad you can only do this day.
But yeah, I'm going to have brain surgery, so
yeah.
Yeah.
I love it though. I love all my clients. It's the new ones. It's the new people that come to you and like they have these expectations that they can just get in whenever they want. It's kind of like going to a nail salon, right? Like you can walk in and if there's availability, you mm-hmm. sit there and wait, but it's not like that within the hair industry. Like, no, you need to book.
I mean, some people can, like, if they take walk-ins.
Super cuts.
That's true.
I mean, like, the reality of it is, even when I was working in the salon, we would get walk-ins, and they'd have to ask, you know, all 42 hairstylists, do you have something open right now? And maybe one would have something for the next Monday, but it's not like that anymore. You have to book in advance. It's not just a get in.
I've seen a lot of hairstylists recently start doing deposits. What do you think about that?
I don't do it.
Why don't you do it?
The reason I don't do it is because the majority of my clients I've had for years and I trust them. And I feel that the clients that I do have would never screw me over without a good reason. Like, not screw me over, but, like, wouldn't no-show.
Uh-huh.
For no reason.
For no reason?
For no reason. Like, it would be a good reason. I would forgive them and not be upset about not putting in a deposit. Well,
as your client, I would have no problem paying a deposit, honestly. And right. I'm probably your longest client.
I probably have three that have been as long as you.
No, because we're counting
literally
high school.
As long as
no,
you.
We're counting high school because you did do yeah high you school? Did do my hair in high school.
Oh, your mom.
Is that like your comeback?
Yeah, your mom.
You didn't. You do my mom. You do my mom's hair now.
No, look. Yes.
Yeah.
I think my I cut it hair? Once in high school.
I don't know.
I think so. Or styled it at least. Something.
I don't know.
I did something. I don't know. But yeah, I know every other stylist asks for deposits. They do great. It works for them. I personally don't ever want to be that stylist. We didn't need them back then. I don't think we need them now. It also detours. Did I say that right? Detours people from booking with.
Deters.
Deters. Yeah. Deters people from booking with you. It's like, oh, she wants what? She wants a deposit? Which I get it. It makes sense. I probably should, but.
I think like it's starting to become more of the norm now because I started taking deposits. for my photography clients.
Right.
Especially since when you move to a new place, you're like, okay, I'm going to up my prices. I'm going to take deposits. I mean, you just have to make sure that your time is being respected. I think that's what it's
Yeah, absolutely. About. Absolutely. And I get why they do it. I'm not going to say don't do it if you're doing it. But mm-hmm. I just don't do it. I will one day.
When you're like in demand.
When I'm back to the full on beauty biz, I'll definitely be doing that. I mean, for big things I do. So like if I have set work, they have to put a deposit down, and that's a little bit of a different story. But for clients that I've had for years, and that's the difference. A lot of the people that are in the industry now, they're working on building their clientele and getting new clients. I've been doing hair for 18 years, and majority of my clients I trust. So it's a little different with that type of situation. Now, if it's a new client, yeah, I probably should ask for a deposit, but it's rare that I take new clients. So that's the difference. Mm-hmm.
So while we're on the topic,
oh boy.
Now, cause, I mean, you brought up set work, so
oh boy.
First of all, did you do anybody's hair, like celebrity hair, when you were in California?
Yes.
Who?
I'm not allowed to discuss it.
What? Why can't you discuss it?
You're just not allowed to. You have to sign NDAs.
You have to sign an NDA?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but you're going to tell me when we get off recording, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you already know. But yeah, for most of them, you have to sign an NDA. There was one person that I can talk about just because I don't remember her name, but she was an actress from General Hospital. And when I was working out in West Hollywood, she had come into one of the salons out there. And it was a Jesus take the wheel kind of moment. I had to remove her individual extensions, and she's sitting there script in lap demanding us to put General Hospital on because she wanted to critique herself the entire time. Turn it up. Don't talk. I need to hear myself. Like, it was a bit much. I get it, but if you're going to be that type of client, book a room. Book privacy. Mm-hmm. Don't expect everyone in the entire room to stay quiet so you can hear yourself. That was frustrating beyond frustrating. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other people that I am allowed to talk about. That'll take me a minute. What else you want to know?
Okay, but you started getting more into like actual set work instead of just doing celebrities' hair, but actual set work in Tennessee. Now, how does one even get to do that?
Honestly, I think based off of my past history and what I've done before and already having a little bit of that under my belt, it kind of helped. But one of the salons that I started at out here kind of threw me into that position, which was awesome. I got to work with specific country singers, mainly all good experiences. One, not so much. She was a little on the trashy side.
Did you have to sign any NDAs for set work like that?
With them, I did not. But it is all known people, which is cool. I mean, one person that I can talk about that I absolutely adored and loved working for was John Rich. And I don't know if you know who that is. A lot of people do, some don't. John Rich is the man that sings Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, Big and Rich. They're pretty awesome, down-to-earth, amazing people. That was a great experience. But along with them comes other artists that are on their label, which is pretty cool. So I've worked with quite a few.
But if you didn't have those connections before, like if you were just moving to Tennessee and you had, you just decided you wanted to do that specifically, how does one get to do that?
I mean, there is unions for the hair industry. And if you can get in with a union, that's your best option. But it's honestly, it comes down to who you know. If you were to throw me into it again, it would probably just be a lot easier for me to get more involved in that industry just because I know a little bit more. But honestly, it comes down to who you know, because they don't just advertise it. It's not, hey, you know, Shania Twain's looking for a hairstylist. Who wants it? It's not something like that. It honestly, it comes down to who you know. A cousin of a singer gets her hair done and refers that hairstylist to the singer. It's more that type of situation. I mean, I've worked with quite a few people that just randomly messaged me, which is cool. And then with my current photographer that I work with, Jordan Farmer, he has a couple people that I've worked with as well, one being Tennessee's Playmate, which absolute sweetheart. And I cannot remember her name at the moment, but that was fun. It was a good experience. Everything was great. But yeah, it's just all who you know. I love it. I love that part of my world. It's fun. It's exciting. I never thought I'd be able to do that or get to do that. It's been pretty cool.
So what big plans do you have for your business? Like do more set work? Like what do you got going on?
I absolutely plan on doing more set work. Like I just did a shoot today, which was awesome. I did that for a clothing company. Yeah, I want to get more involved in that industry. And once my salon opens up, it'll be even better.
Cool.
So I'm super excited about all of that. It's going to be great. What about you? I'm curious, as far as the photography side of this, you said, you know, you have started to ask your customers or clients. What do you call them as a photographer?
Clients.
Clients.
I'm not selling.
I'm
like,
just curious.
Like goods. Well, I'm a customer.
Right.
No. Yeah.
Well, they're buying.
But I'm not like selling products. Like, I think that's the difference. Right. Like when you have a client, you are performing a, like you are using a skill to, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, they're my customers because I'm selling them something. Like,
Yeah. Well, so you do prefer a deposit for your clients.
I only just started doing it.
So why did it take you so long?
I think before I was scared of scaring clients away because, but that could just easily be, you know, just kind of doubting yourself too and your skill level. Like, oh, nobody's going to want to pay a deposit on top of this for me. Or for you know, for what they're getting from me. So I think that was part of it.
Yeah.
And then, every time that I have done shoots for people, like mainly families, it's always been like for – because I didn't depend on it for my sole income. So – it was always like affordable for people. And, you know, a lot of photographers will do things like, in-person sales. I think that's, yeah. So they'll give you mm-hmm. your like sitting fee, and then to shoot you, to take your pictures, and then you have to buy the prints, or you only get like a certain amount with that digital file. And then this probably mm-hmm. all sounds super boring.
Nope. What is the average cost of a sitting fee? Is it go based off of person? What does it go based off of? Kind of curious.
Like, I mean, a lot of it. It depends, because I used to think like, am I a good enough photographer to charge this much? And when I was doing, I did like a mentoring session with another photographer, and she's like, it has nothing mm-hmm. to do with that. It's about your time and how much your time is worth. Mm-hmm. So you have to think of, you know, you are getting someone to babysit your kids. Usually you are putting gas in your car, your travel time, your time to shoot, which is usually an hour or an hour and a half. Then you have mm-hmm. editing, you know, then it's the upkeep of your website, or, you know,
your equipment.
Yeah. Cause you got to, like, it's the same thing with you. Like, you need supplies, mm-hmm. you know, not to mention, like, I think now more than ever, you and I are realizing how much time goes into just social media. Mm-hmm. So how much, like, I understand now why content creators make so much money, because like that, it's so much work and so much time.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to touch on a little bit with you, is like, okay, so you have that world where it's like people don't understand that you have the maintenance, the equipment, mm-hmm. the all of that, the editing time. And so when they hear prices, they kind of go, oh, mm-hmm. just for photos? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it's – they don't take it all in. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing in my industry, and I see it more and more and more. I will get on Facebook, and we have a girls group out here, and it'll just be women complaining about how their stylist charged them, let's say, $200 for a full head highlight. Mm-hmm. But what they don't realize is that you just used an entire box of foils, which costs $18. You use bleach that costs $40. Mm-hmm. You use shampoo, the water bill, the electricity to blow dry your hair, and
not to mention your like rent.
The booth rent, that's almost $400 a week. And not only that, but I'm sorry, the majority of cosmetologists spent anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 to go to beauty school. It's not some small cost, you know, $800 you got your cosmo license. Mm-hmm. No, it cost a pretty penny. So they're paying for your talent, your skill, your knowledge, your time, and your product. And at the end of the day, we can maybe walk away with anywhere from $70 to $100 per client that took us 4 hours to 6 hours mm-hmm. based off of what these women want nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like, they expect to go from, you know, Kim Kardashian black to Chloe blonde, and it's not possible. And then when you can't achieve that, it's like, well, I spent $200. Like, oh, if you only understood what all goes into it. Mm-hmm. And it is frustrating. Sometimes you just want to shake a client, like, you don't get it, you don't understand, and you never will. So mm-hmm. you are not the client for me. So do you have clients like that? And people that will say, oh my gosh, that's so expensive. And then, like, have you ever had to break it down for a client to explain yourself? Because I feel like hairstylists have to do that, and it's not fair. We shouldn't have to do that. Doing photos mm-hmm. and doing hair, it's a privilege. Like, it is, if that's something you want to do monthly, mm-hmm. that's part of your bills. You need to plan it out. Mm-hmm. It's, what is that, the word that I'm looking for? It's a luxury. Mm-hmm. It's not a necessity. Mm-hmm. You don't need to get your highlights done. If you can't afford a highlight, don't get it done. Mm-hmm. But that you shouldn't waste our time when this is our career. Mm-hmm. We have kids, bills, insurance. Like, so much goes into it that people just don't understand. And it can be disheartening. So for you, do they do that to you?
It's been a really long time because with being in the military, we move constantly. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother thing. Like, you're moving your business and starting over every couple of years. So that's why also I've always kind of kept it at an affordable rate. And it ended up, I think, because when we lived in Massachusetts, I was living on a military base. And anytime someone was looking for a photographer, I post it. And I had like the most clients I had ever done. I was shooting so much. And it like, it paid off my new camera.
Did you guys have like a Facebook page where you would post those things?
Yeah. It's just like with you, like if you go on like the mom's page or like wives pages, people are like, hey, they're looking for recommendations constantly.
Right.
And I would get a lot of the wives there because I wasn't like studio photography. I'm a natural light photographer. And so I got a lot there. And then we moved to Hawaii and I get scared every time I move to a new place because I don't know what the rules are. Can I legally shoot here? Do I need a permit? And I don't know where to I don't know where to figure that out. So I definitely miss opportunities. I only took like one family picture in Hawaii. So I wish that I did more. Maybe we'll end up in Hawaii again. I don't know. I bet I'll take advantage of it because you can definitely go and shoot at the beach and you can do that.
I'm thinking we might need to take a birthday trip.
You have an itch that you
I do.
A little travel itch. You're like,
yeah, I just it's need called to go live somewhere. Life to the fullest.
So with moving from place to place, I tried up again when we moved to Georgia. And at that point, it was so saturated with photographers. Mm-hmm. Because you have now it's becoming super trendy for stay-at-home moms to be photographers or whatever, just like how it was for like stay-at-home moms to be influencers mm-hmm. or, like stay-at-home moms to sell you, the different products like essential oils or whatever.
But like, you got to give them props on this hustle though.
Oh yeah. No. Congrats. Yeah. I mean, I don't see it's, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, like, it was saturated. So
many. Well, it's same thing in my industry. Now it's, everyone thinks they can do lash extensions, but not realize like y'all need to be licensed for this, but okay. It's the mm-hmm. same thing.
Yeah. It's, I just started, kind of doing like referrals, I guess, like word of mouth, because I kept putting my, mm-hmm. I kept putting my stuff out there on the mm-hmm. Facebook pages and I would get maybe one. And then I started posting on my page, hey guys, I'm offering this deal right now, like super cheap. Like I used like when I first started out, I was charging like $150 and I wasn't getting anybody. So then I was like, okay, well, I'll put it to $75. Mm-hmm. $75 for mm-hmm. an hour, and then you got, like, all of your images.
Oh, my gosh, no. That's not okay.
Yeah, all your images. Yeah, our first guest, Nancy, definitely took advantage of that one. The picture she paid me $75.
Props to Nancy.
Yeah, but you know what?
She jumped on it.
Because we, yeah, but we, I mean, they probably couldn't afford much, but yeah, she ended up still loving it. And
she was military too, right?
Yeah, military too.
That was military life. Yeah.
She still loves her pictures, which to me, I'm just like, can I edit them again? Please.
Please. Let me take them back.
Because I know better now. I'm more knowledgeable. I took her pictures recently. And
which were beautiful.
Thank you. And I didn't even want to charge her. She's like, well, what do you normally charge? I'm like, I don't want to say. because you're my friend. And she's like, I'm like, I like slide a number over to her, and then she ends up paying me more anyway. But, you know, that's just building relationships with your friend. Clients turn friends, turn client again. But yeah, that's basically who I have shot for in the last 5 years. And it wasn't until here, word got around.
You were able to get back.
Well, word got around that, well, I met with, our children's director when she first started. We met for coffee and, I told her I did photography, and then she, you know, let the cat out of the bag with some of the other staff. And so I ended up, I ended up starting to volunteer being the photographer at church. And through that, I took the pastor's son's senior pictures, and then the children's director referred me to another one, another client. So, I mean, and then I also did like a wedding, like that was like all back to back.
Yeah. Like I said, it's who you know.
Yeah.
It's all about, I mean, look, I had to fly out all the way to Colorado to go do hair and makeup for a wedding because it was someone you knew.
Yeah.
So it's all about connections and making the right connections, which is awesome and can be so good sometimes.
But I think that's the greatest part about moving to a new place is like, okay, I feel like, you know, I still think what I charge now, even though it's more, is still cheap compared to a lot of other photographers because, and I can do that because I'm not relying on that income to pay, you know, my bills and stuff. It's
to sustain yourself.
Yeah, to sustain me. So
yeah,
I can offer that deal.
Yeah. But is that undercutting the next photographer? And is that like, what's the word I'm looking for? There's a word for it where you're like going lower than the competitor.
No, because I don't think, because when people ask for photographers, and I think it's obviously the same for when people ask for, you know, recommendations for hairstylists, you're not going and putting a link to your own stuff and someone's putting the price on there automatically. So really what they're doing is they are seeing your work first, and if that's
and then
saying how much, and when they see what they're getting, because I have my first experience getting family pictures done. That's how she did it. She did. I think it was like $150 sitting fee, and then $50 for all the images on a CD. Back in the day on a CD. Yeah. And ever since then, I was like, that's what I want. If that's what I want and expect from other photographers, that's the photographer I'm going to be. I mean, I've lowered it so that I'm not spending hours and hours editing hundreds of pictures. I'm like whittling it down to like, you get like maybe like 50 plus so that I'm not sitting here forever editing your stuff. But yeah, it's more about an experience. I'm very chill, especially with the families. I mean, it's not my number one. I would love to do more editorial. I like creating a set and have props and stuff and do – or senior pictures, you know, portraits. I don't even mind doing boudoir, but – family pictures is like, you can't be super creative too much with that.
No.
When I've had to work with children a lot, I've learned a lot of, different techniques. And so I give my advice and it ends up being a super comfortable, casual experience. And I basically am just their paparazzi. Cause I'm just, I mean, I give them like ideas like, you know, ways to pose, but like make it natural. And they appreciate that because they're like, wow. Cause especially like the dads, cause they do not like their pictures taken for sure. They're like, wow.
I don't think I have ever seen a happy man in a photo. And, or when you look at everyone's family photos, is it just me, or do you not look at the mail and go, he's miserable? He probably did not want to do this. He was forced to do this. Well, you know that that wife was like, no, we're doing this. We have family photos set up. Like, and it kind of makes you feel bad for them. Like, you know, they were dragged out the house.
Well, I mean, you can definitely tell, like, okay, this mom / wife, she is like the star of the shoot. She picked out all the outfits. That's another thing too, like your prices and your skill level. So say for pictures, like your editing style and whatnot, those are what you give out is what kind of clients you're going to attract.
Right.
You know, so that's why I kind of like with the deposits, like if you do the deposits, like, you're going to get
right.
the clients that are going to, you know, they're there for your skill.
Absolutely. And you know what's crazy? Like, I have been that stylist my entire life that has told my coworkers, you're undercharging. Don't sell yourself short. But then you mention that and it's like, absolutely. If you set your standards high, you're going to get those type of clients. Mm-hmm. Now, when you say, I don't want it, or you lower your price, or you barter, well, guess what? You're going to get those type of clients. Mm-hmm. I don't want those type of clients. But fortunately, like I said, I've had a lot of my clients for years, so I haven't had to deal with that. But for future clients, absolutely, you want to set your price higher. You want to put that deposit because that's the type of clientele you want. Mm-hmm. And people that have money look for things that are higher priced because they know it's higher quality. Mm-hmm. Now, someone that is lower quality is going to know that they're lower quality, so they're going to ask for the smaller price. It absolutely makes sense, and I wish a lot more people understood that as far as pricing.
I was just going to say that I think that anytime maybe that I did get messages like that, I didn't budge, and then they kind of just went away. Or as soon as I say my prices and like what they get, they just go away. Or they're like, okay, yeah, I'd like to book.
Yeah.
So like, it doesn't bother me. Like I said, it probably would bother somebody who relies on that income. You know what I mean? So for me, I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, well, once in a blue moon, I'll get another one.
Yeah. Absolutely. This sounds like a whole nother topic, right? Like how it doesn't bother you because you don't rely on that income. But like someone that does rely on that and that they'll settle for less. And just if they were to have a little bit more confidence within their work, how much better they would do in the long run. But is that even possible when that's what you rely on? So that's a fun topic we could get into and ask people like what their opinion on it is and what they would do. But yeah, it's crazy. I don't know, but talking about this has brought up a couple ideas, because you just said how you love to do more, like you like set work as well, right? Like, well, you're coming to Nashville soon and I've got some ideas.
I've always liked fashion photography the most, but I learned a lot of different skills and going through my editing style through doing with like working with families. But photography wise is not even close to the music business.
No, I was going to ask you that too. Like, what do you prefer? Would you rather be out recording or would you rather be out doing photos?
I think My music has always been my number one.
That's your passion. That's where your heart is.
That's my passion. I do have a passion for photography, but I have so many passions. You know what I mean? But I feel like, and I know that it can be used.
The life of an artist.
Yeah, but I know that music is my number one. It is what I am here for. But look, I mean, look at me. Like, we are literally starting a podcast. You know what I mean?
We're doing too much.
No kidding. Like, I'm so stressed.
Podcasting, cancer testing, brain surgery, freaking hairstylist, photo shoots. But like, what?
I know.
Too, like, much,
Ash. I'm dizzy.
Won't stop.
But what did I do before we started this? I literally showed you my reminder list of all my to-do lists. And
yeah, empower to you, because I don't do that. I probably should with my memory loss, but
yeah, you should, just so that you have it there, so you have an idea.
Remember our previous guest? That one specific person had an assistant. I need that. Like, I want that in my life.
Are you gonna try and steal hers? I need an assistant. I probably could be an assistant, but I
literally think you could be an assistant. Like, I think that is your. That is your hidden talent that is just, like, unspoken.
Well, I used to be my mom's secretary.
That I believe. And I believe, yeah, you kind of still are.
I do. I do stuff for my mom.
I love it.
But, like, yeah, music is my number one.
Yeah.
But it's literally the hardest.
It is.
The hardest, because it's always changing. And it costs so much money that you don't get back. You don't. Yeah. I've poured more money into it than I've gotten back.
Oh, absolutely. But when it's your passion, at the end of the day, it's like, it was still worth it. I got to do what I love.
That's true. And I know that, like, I created timeless music. It's not like some fad, you know, type of genre or whatever. Like, I created to create I wasn't, you know, like, I don't really like songs that, like, specifically name things that are of the current times, because then, like, you go back, you know, like, if, like Destiny's Child in Bugaboo, when they're talking about paging me, or, right? Is it in that song?
You said in Bugaboo? Was that a name of one of their songs? Bugaboo? Yes.
Bugaboo. It came after Bills, Bills, Bills.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, like, love songs it. That, like, I mean, Bugaboo's still
Bugaboo. A jam,
but yeah, songs that, like, reference pop culture things that are going on at that time. Like, that's why, yeah, I like to, you know, like, music that is more of feelings or,
yeah,
whatever. Like,
yeah. Someone that I've always compared you to, because the soul aspect of it would be like, I don't know if you know who Joss Stone is.
Mm-hmm.
That is someone that I've always, like, to me, that's what you remind me of in your style, and I love it.
I do love Joss Stone. I've got Joss Stone hair right
and
now.
And not everyone can pull that off. Hair, yeah. You really do.
Yeah. I can't, you know, like, you can't fake
I love
that
it.
Stuff.
No.
And, you know, like, I said in another – I said in another recording, whenever we air this, I don't even know. We were talking about,
I'm probably going to be comatose.
That's when Amber will be in an induced coma when we air this episode. So, yeah, either that or I'll just get on and record whatever I want to say and just be like, it's just me, guys. And I'm going to talk about everything that Amber does not want me to talk about. I'm kidding. I don't do that to you. Anyway, so we were talking.
Like, she is looking for a husband. I know you. I know you. You have to stay off of the podcast while I'm incoherent, unless we have a guest host.
Yeah. So when I said, let's get back on track. When I said that I wish that I was, you know, less fearful, like, that I was able to just let go, like,
yeah,
in performing or writing or whatever. And I feel like that's a thing, like, with God's timing. We can maybe think, like, we wish that we were this then, But I feel like when it did happen for me, like that switch, like it literally was right after my dad died that I changed how I wrote songs. Like they're just like a switch. And then we went to Nashville and then things just like it was, you know, it changed me. And I have continued to change to where it's like, you can't fake it. You can't fake that. But to get down to the...
And that's like how God says, you know, like what we go through is to make us stronger and build us and create us for who we're supposed to be. And you've gone through so much and now you have this whole different talent that you wouldn't have had before. You had a talent, don't get me wrong, but now your heart is absolutely 1,000% in it.
Yeah, I think... Well, I mean, I always had it before, but I don't know. So I think when you go through a lot of things, at least in like music wise, it changes even how you sound. Like, you know, like when you really love like soulful music or like R&B, like you can hear it in their tone of, or like even in the way they sing those words. And it's the same with worship music. Like you can't get up there and fake it. Like if you're on the worship team, you can't get up there and fake it. You have to believe the words that you're singing.
So, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think
absolutely
those changes happen. And like that's, I think that is one of the things that C-Ray, my producer, noticed first was like, before he even knew anything that I had gone through, he's like, I hear it. Mm-hmm. She's got more to say. Anyways. I was just going to say to get to the business of music and why it is so frustrating is, like I said, it's always changing. There's not a lot for independent artists. Like you think like, oh, you got songs on Spotify, on iTunes and whatnot. Like Spotify pays you less than pennies.
Mm-hmm.
So Spotify pays rights holders. So mm-hmm. if you own the rights to your song, so if you are the writer, the producer, whatever, between 0.003 mm-hmm. and 0.005 per stream on average. Okay.
So the real winner in this then mm-hmm. is Spotify and mm-hmm. Apple Music or iTunes. Those mm-hmm. are the real winners in this. Not even the artists anymore. You remember, like, back in the day, if someone put out an album, oh, man, they were bringing it in. Now how do they do it?
No, they weren't. They weren't. The recording.
So per every album sale, like... Are they not profit? What are they profiting more? Are they profiting more now or were they profiting more back then when it was record sales?
I'm not sure on that specifically, but I know that the record companies mm-hmm. are the ones, like if they paid you, like I heard Halsey talk on a podcast and when she first got signed, she's like, I took a deal for like, I think like $5,000 or something like something like that. Like with this independent label, like that's the thing of why there's a huge rise in independent artists now, because we are taking the control now, because mm-hmm. a record label gets, if they sign you, they get to tell you what your look is. They get to tell you what your sound is. They can, like when we talked to Siri with his mm-hmm. publishing deal, like they mm-hmm. own you.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be making money like Ariana Grande or Justin Timberlake. So for an independent artist, this is all that it goes into it. You have to pay if you don't produce it yourself, which means for me, mm-hmm. I write the lyrics and the melody. My producer builds the music around that, or we do it from scratch and he mm-hmm. will send me something that he's built. I'll give him like different, you know, songs by artists and be like, this is the vibe I'm going for. And I still like don't know how to articulate myself very well in that sense. I'm like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, do you know how this song makes me feel? Can you do something like that?
Probably like so you get annoying. It, right?
So, yeah. He's like, I think, okay.
Poor C-Ray. Yeah,
but that's why it's great, because me and him, we have a great friendship and we've worked together for a few years now, and he can get me and my vibe. I mean, I still, even like if he sends me something and I don't like it, I'm like,
right.
It's yeah. And he's like, no, I want you to tell me when you don't like it. But I'm like, but you did all that work. And he's like, I can use it for somebody else. It's fine. So You pay your producer.
Yeah.
Sometimes producers can do any range from like $5,000 to $10,000 a song. Okay. So if you're just like, oh, yay, I'm going to go and record a song. Mm-hmm. That's just the song. Okay. I'm sure you're getting great quality. Okay. But then say you want a music video. I've only had one. I wish I could do more, but it costs. So you're paying, you know, location fees.
Yeah.
You're paying your camera crew. You are paying your extras, you know. So for me, I did pay, you know, for certain parts of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was kind of like my package deal. It was like a couple songs and a music video. So it was all incorporated. Mm-hmm. But I paid for my own clothes. I paid for my my ticket out there, my hotel. Like, that stuff racks up. Then you get the song out there. Thankfully, I'm a photographer. So I can – I have at least a camera. I can get someone to take my picture. So my first one,
yeah,
you took that picture, and I found somebody to. It wasn't exactly the look that I was going for, but it worked. And then my set. No. The way it was edited, not what you did. And then the second one, I had another friend take, and the third one.
Was me. I did three of yours.
No, you did two. You did Waves, that cover, and you did Glass House's single. My other friend did Lioness,
mm-hmm.
and another photographer did Still Hiding, and then my daughter did August and Wonderland. You only did two. You're probably thinking of the photo shoot that we did of all the different looks, but
that, or I'm thinking of just the fact that I did your hair for them instead of the photos for them. There was another one that I, yeah.
Anyways,
good times. So I'm curious. I'm waiting for my song to come out.
What's your song? Like a song about you?
I don't
know.
You going to write a song for your bestie?
Only if you die.
But then I'm, you know what? The word of my month is rude.
I know, I'm sorry. But we're mm-hmm. just joking.
Yeah.
We're just rude. Joking.
No, oh my.
Yeah. I'm working. I'm cooking something up. I'm saving, and I'm taking the time, the waiting time.
I can't hear you on life support.
You're on life support right now? Shut your face. I'm taking the time to work on things and like process and like have like new ideas and stuff to, yeah. I mean, I have my title already in my head. I have the concept of the whole thing.
Wait, can we share this no. right now?
I am such a top Dang. Secret person when it comes yeah. to that stuff. I'm like, nope, sorry, you can't hear it till it's done. Can't, no. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So hopefully that'll be soon. But you also have marketing you have to pay for.
Yeah. So people don't realize everything that goes into it.
But that's the thing. Like I've done a couple of different ways. There's this one website that you go and you kind of buy credits on it and you like try and like, what's the word? You kind of like send your song to a bunch of like bloggers mm-hmm. and like music bloggers or sometimes just influencers like on social media mm-hmm. and you like, yeah, like pitch it. That's what it is. You pitch your song to them. Mm-hmm. And they can deny it or they're like, oh, well, it doesn't fit for my audience, but I'll give you a shout out. And then you're out like $7,500.
Oh, yeah. Oh, heck no. No, yeah, no, no, no. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then I also tried doing where company gets mm-hmm. you on different Spotify playlists and then I've tried just doing marketing with music blogs where they do like a write-up before mm-hmm. you. And then I did one where they do like Instagram ads. So like, you know, when you're going on your story mm-hmm. and then an ad pops up for something. So they did that. Mm-hmm. And a couple of my friends saw it, but it just didn't. Just didn't bring in a lot of people like to do it for a month.
Yeah.
And so you can right. spend thousands of dollars too. Easy. You can spend like $1,000, $3,000, $5,000, depends on, you know, what you get back. But like I said, Spotify doesn't pay you anything. So my recent frustration
right.
is my latest single Wonderland that came out in October. We didn't do anything for mm-hmm. it. Okay. And it's sitting pretty mm-hmm. at like 26 streams since October. 26. I'm like, wow. I know I have more than 26 friends, so I don't know what everyone's doing. <I'm> like,
okay, that's insane. But let me ask you this last question before we, sign out of here. What does it take? Because I'm sure there's so many artists out there that would just love to have it. But what does it take to get your song on the radio? Why don't you just send it in? Explain that to people why you can't do that. Like, or can you? And people just don't.
There's actually, mm-hmm. it depends. It depends because there are some independent like radio stations that are like their sole thing is, you know, a local mm-hmm. independent artist. I have pitched my song. I pitched Still Hiding and I think Waves when it came out. And
I remember it coming on the radio when I was out in California, one of your songs, and it was on one of the local stations.
Yeah. It was for Glass Houses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that was just because it is like you said, like who you know, and my mom.
Who you know, yeah. Yeah,
my mom set that up. My sister found somebody like in London that did like a online radio show and played Glass Houses out there.
Yeah.
Glass Houses has always like has like the little engine that could. It just keeps trucking. It was on Temptation Island.
Yeah. What was the other one that was on something?
Illusionist was on a movie.
Illusionist was on
yeah.
in a sex scene.
I love like, it. Well, that's not what the song is about, but okay.
Whatever.
I mean, it sounds sexy.
So if I were to take one of your songs that is my favorite, which is probably War and Illusionist. Which one is Under the Skin and Through the Vein?
Lioness.
Okay. If I were to take that one and send it to a radio station, what would they do?
I don't know. I
because like, that song is my jam. I could put it on in the radio and just blast it.
I don't know. I mean, people could probably call in and be like, I want to hear this song. That's the thing. It's all about sharing.
All right. That's it. We're doing it, guys. We are going on a mission, and we are going to call into a couple radio stations. Let's try and do this before I go in the hospital.
Oh, gosh. Let's add another thing to
let's
the
plate. Let's see. I mean, come on. Like, we don't know how to do it. Let's see if we can get this done.
Let's just start another TikTok channel.
No. Let's skip over the TikTok. No TikTok for this girl.
Who
ma'am.
Listens to the radio?
I do.
I don't know.
Don't judge me. Stop looking at me like that.
I listen to the radio, but a lot of like people, they'll listen to just Pandora or.
Yeah, but once it's on the radio and it gets so many questions or listens, like who knows what could happen.
It depends on if the radio station promotes local independent artists.
They do. And I do live in Nashville, so
I know you.
I think we can make something happen here.
I mean, you can try, but yeah, it's that's what I was going to say was that frustration now of why I haven't done the streaming for this last song is because Spotify changed it again to where they are now not paying for for specific playlists. Like if you're on this playlist, they're not going to pay you for that or something like that. I'm like, come on.
Wow.
Like what is a girl got to do? Yeah. Like what is a girl got to do?
So it's not worth it at the end of the day.
Yeah. Musician. Like we need.
Yeah. That's, I mean, honestly, it sounds like musicians need to take the reins back because this to me is like Spotify is in control.
Boycott and be like, well, what we need is like bigger names getting in there and be like, you know, fight for this. You know,
yeah.
Because literally we're like the ones that rely on this, like I'm okay, obviously. My husband works.
But that's not the point. That's not what an artist wants to get out there for. An artist wants to share their work, and that's something that you want to do. And yeah, we get that you're good, but at the end of the day, like you want to share your music. You want that. You want people to listen. You want people to hear you. That's the whole point of being an artist. You want them to see and hear your artwork. To me, like.
And pay your bills.
And pay your bills. Secret. Have
a, be able to eat. That's what they like. Some of the people, like literally, like especially when COVID hit and they couldn't perform, like musicians have to get so creative with how they make money. Like selling merch, Zoom concerts, like doing all these things. Like that was suggested to me. And I was like, but it was like that thing with the photography. I'm like, but who's going to pay to watch me?
Okay. But have you seen that new thing on Instagram that people can buy badges?
I don't really know.
Like, what is
like,
that?
Like, they're trying to throw peanuts at
us. I think you need to go get people to buy badges, Ash. Well, take those peanuts and pick them up, baby girl, because you'll eventually have a circus.
That's funny. But not. It was really cheesy.
Shh, dad jokes. All day long.
My real wish is at least the bare minimum is to literally have all of my friends and family listen, share it, and support it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it can be disappointing when the people that are closest to you don't do that. I'm a supporter. I love you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. But like, thank you. Love you too.
On that note, y'all better go listen to your girl. She is on Spotify, Ashley Reed. She's got some amazing music with just a soulful vibe. There's some passion in it, but this has been a good talk today. I love this. We're going to have to get a little more in depth with this next time. Next time we'll go all music, and then the time after that, we're going to go all hair industry. That'll be fun.
Well, you'll have to find some extra people to get on there then.
Yes, we can do this.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you for joining us today, guys. Do you have anything else you want to add to this?
Like, thanks for joining. Who's here?
future people.
Thank you for listening. Yeah. Join in on the conversation. We want to hear more.
Yes.
I think I can probably reach out to some other people, independent artists, just kind of like trying to get it out there and like, what do you do for money? Like, how do you do this? You know,
yeah.
it's the same with actors too. Like, they're like working at Starbucks and like waitressing and bars and stuff, still trying to like hustle. So
the amount of people on Broadway, it's insane. Like, they're out there working for years just to get that big break. But
yeah,
it's crazy.
It's so hard, and you gotta keep doing it. But you know what? On that note, I will leave us with this idea. I feel like the people who are artists, whether it's music or acting or any kind of creative thing like that, should be paid so much, because especially with music and even like movies or art, like that's what feeds our soul.
Yeah. Not just pays the bills, but that's what feeds your soul. That's what keeps you going and on a positive note.
Like, that's literally like everybody listens to music. Everybody watches movies or TV. It's a way they cope. Like, think of all the people in COVID. What were they doing?
TikTok.
Or when you're going through something, you're putting music on, you know? Or like, you know, when someone paints a picture and it speaks to you, like, you feel the emotion. Like, and the same with like movies and stuff. Like, it takes so much, and these people are pouring their entire beings out.
Right.
They're being so vulnerable to create this for not just for them, but for everybody to share and to relate to, so that they could, you know, get through hard times or feel joy or have a good time with their friends on a Saturday night or something like that. Those people should not have to struggle just to pay their bills or just to be able to live, you know? That's my opinion.
That's your opinion. That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
Even if I wasn't doing music, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if I was just doing photography is still like a creative art.
It's art. It's all art. Anything within that realm is art. I paint. Mm-hmm. I do hair. You sing. Mm-hmm. You do photography. That's all art.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't support the art and
gotta support the arts.
You have to.
It's just like back in the day when they try to like cancel like the music department or whatever. Like, that is what is getting kids through things.
Yeah.
It's helping them in school. You know what I mean? Like, God gave us the arts for a reason.
Yeah. I agree.
For a reason.
I agree. Not everyone's gonna agree on this, but I agree. I love it.
I don't know. I know, like, some people don't not necessarily get it, but you know that those people still enjoy those things though.
Yeah.
The non-artists still enjoy what the artists make.
Yep.
So everyone likes movies.
Everyone listens to music. Everyone likes a good painting. Everyone likes their hair done. But do they appreciate it?
You gotta appreciate it and support.
Ah. Whole nother topic, girl. But do they appreciate it? I love it.
Little old me.
little old me. Yeah. I love it. Well, I support you and you support me. So we're good.
Yes. Well, thanks guys for listening. You can find us at Uncommon Faith Podcast and email us at uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com. Since we've been talking about the music, you can follow me at Ashley Reed Music. You can follow me on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you find music, there I am. There I will be.
Oh, even on those Instagram handles. Mm-hmm. Yes. Y'all can find me at Adonia_by. Adonia by Amber on Instagram.
It's a new change.
Thanks for the correction.
Like, no underscore.
I'm sure there will be one more. Yeah. Don't worry about
Pretty
it.
Pretty soon, Amber will have something easier. And pretty soon, yes, we will have something else to talk about at the end of our podcast episode. We'll change it up one of these days.
I love it. Yes. All right, y'all. Have a good day, evening. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.
Bye.